When I hear this rejoiner, gonna be a good day. I hear that. Dun, 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 dun. Are they sampling Rock the Boat?
Potential. I don't know. It's out of my culture references.
Can you throw on Rock the Boat by Hughes Corporation? It's a classic. You've heard it. Are they sampling Rock the Boat with this song? You know, I'd like to know that you got the motion, and I'd like to know that you got the motion.
We're like almost the same age, and I don't really
Come
know
on
even
and
who
rock
that song.
The boat.
It's
rock
from 1974.
Yeah, play the song. You've heard it. Well, I guarantee you've heard this song.
No, I know the song. I you could put a gun in my head, and I couldn't tell you who sings it. I don't really hear it.
Dun 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 dun. Dun, 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 dun. I guess every song sounds like that.
See,
right?
Now you're going into that that Blurred Lines Marvin Gaye case where just like, hey, listen to that style of notes. I pay me money, you rip me off.
It's the same thing as, what's his name, Vanilla Ice, right?
Well, that one was a straight up rip.
Right, when he goes like, yo, so in this song, it's like, ding, 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 did a ding, ding.
Yeah, so mine, that was like, sampling Queen Under Pressure.
Ding, ding,
it was
ding,
exact
ding,
same
ding,
thing.
Ding.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, you did the
he
same
added
thing.
An extra dun.
Yeah.
But that was a straight-up ripoff. This one, I'd be hard-pressed to think that a Rock the Boat is going to come after our little DA bed.
What's our song called? What's that? Gonna Be a Good Day? Is that the name of the song?
It's gonna be a good day, and I don't really know the words today. I've never really known the words any day, but it makes me want to go say, hey, 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 it's gonna be a good day.
Good rendition.
What's that?
I like that.
Carlos is good.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to review it now back here. If it's close, I'll let you know.
Thank you. That's The Butcher, Carlos with a K, GC, Peter Schwartz.
Definitely not James.
It's not James, and it's not Brian.
And it's definitely not Rock the Boat.
No?
Not even close.
It isn't?
No.
I don't know why. I just always hear that in my head. It's not a tumor. It's not. Schwartz on headlines. We still got a couple things to get into. NFL... Baseball, talk a little baseball. WWE superstar Bianca Belair coming up in the 9 o'clock Eastern hour, and also a Target demo Friday. I heard from a couple of people on Twitter. I'm not going to get as many as DA because I don't have the following that he does, but heard from a couple of you already. I'll read those tweets at the end of the show. Where you're listening, how you're listening, what you're doing this weekend, just tweet at me. I'm on X. We're calling it X now. Still Twitter. We know what it is. It's Twitter.
Don't call it X.
No,
don't feed into it.
I don't even use it anymore. I used to be a prolific tweeter. I was great on Twitter. And I have since abandoned it, and now the asset is using Instagram more.
Threads or just Instagram?
No, Instagram. I opened Threads when I saw everybody else open it, and I sent out one thread. Is that what you call it?
I think so.
If you write something, it's a thread.
A post.
And I said, does anybody think Tom from MySpace is on Threads? That would be.
It died in like a day and a half.
It was done, man. That was quick.
It had a shorter life expectancy than Vine. You remember Vine?
I was just about to say
Vine. Vine had a pretty good
Did we just
run.
Become best friends?
Yes, we did.
Stegosaurus. Good housekeeping.
Why are you sweating? Cops was on.
I know Cops wasn't on.
All right. What's better, Step Brothers or the other guys?
Not even going to hesitate with Step Brothers.
Really? That quick?
Other Guys was funny for 10 minutes, and then it was over after that.
Oh, that disappoints me.
The opening scene where he's like, oh, you should have shot A-Rod. You know, that one was funny.
That was good.
But no, the rest of that movie was, because it was Will Ferrell being very dry in his delivery. And,
I loved it.
And Will Ferrell is just hilarious when he's just out there and out of his world.
They're both great movies, but you can't say Gator needs his gat. It's great.
So you go Other Guys?
I like them both equally. Okay. If I'm going to watch one, it'll be the Other Guys.
That's your age showing. You don't know any better.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Didn't they come out like 3 years apart?
Yeah.
You know what I'm noticing in here? This microphone has a lot of bend. That microphone's like one position and it stays. This, I can really get...
It's been used.
Like lead singer on this.
It's a little flimsy.
Yeah. Like I can do a Steven Tyler, like twirl it up in the air... Hold the mic out to the crowd. So, we also are going to talk to our intern, who Carlos and I have not met until today. She's going to come in, because here's how my day went yesterday. She'll join us at the end of the 8 o'clock hour. Eastern time. Everything's Eastern. All right. I don't want to hear, well, you know, you got to tell the national audience. We're in the East. Everything is Eastern.
Just you could just leave out the time. It doesn't exist here.
Right? It doesn't matter. So yesterday, I hit up a buddy of mine, and I'm going to call him a buddy, even though we've never met. Stand-up comic by the name of Adam Ray, who has an unbelievable career going for himself as a stand-up, as an actor. He was in the Barbie movie. He played young Vince McMahon on the Young Rock show. He's acted in a lot of stuff. His podcast, About Last Night, has a huge following. Gets a lot of comics on there. He just had Rich Eisen on. And I reached out to him on Instagram a few months ago because I loved his content. He was putting out great stuff. He does a lot of crowd work, and he posts a lot of his crowd work from his stand-up sets. And so I just reached out to him just to say, hey, man, you know, love what you're doing. Big fan. Hope all's well. Would love to see you the next time in New York City. And when you do those things, you don't expect anybody to get back to you. And he did. Got back to me shortly thereafter. And we've stayed in touch throughout. Don't have the digits yet. But, you know, we message each other here and there. And he's a huge Seattle Mariners fan. So when I got to drop that I have a new job, the asset works in another spot. Haven't mentioned it on this show 50 times since I started. And I'll mention it again before the end of the show. MLB Network. So he loved that. He's been on there before. He was actually on Intentional Talk during the All-Star break with Kevin Millar and Ryan Dempster. I mean, he is a massive Seattle Mariners fan. He did stand up in a city recently where the Mariners were playing. He invited all the Mariners broadcasters to the show. We took a picture with him on stage. So I hit him up a couple of days ago. I said, hey, I'm doing the show Friday. I know you being on the West Coast, he's an LA guy. Maybe we could pre-record something. And he got back to me. He said, absolutely. So yesterday we scheduled it, again, Eastern time, for 4:30 Eastern, 1:30 his time. He messaged me at about 2:30, 3 o'clock, said, hey, can we push it back one more hour? Perfect. So I sent him the Zoom link. We get on Zoom, 5:30 here, 2:30 there, and I can't record the interview. For whatever reason, I'm clicking record on my screen, and it's not working. So he goes, oh, let me do it. So he clicks record, and we go through the 15-minute interview, Q&A, or video call, and at the end of it, as we're signing off and he's wrapping up his last point, the message comes up on screen, recording now in progress. So now I'm like, that ain't good. And as soon as we get done, he goes, dude, I don't think anything recorded on my end. Great. Now, I don't want to keep him. I've got to get going to my job at MLB Network. And he goes, yeah, let's just run it back. We'll do it again. I'm like, are you sure? He goes, yeah, we'll do it again. It'll be better this time. So we do another 15 minutes. And again, he records it. And he goes, yeah, and I'll send it to you. So we wrap it up. It goes great. He plugs his dates. He plugs what's coming up. And I will mention that he does have a brand new hour coming out later today on his YouTube channel. He's filming a special, actually, in Wisconsin in about 4 or 5 weeks. So this is kind of a lead up to that, but it's all new material in his special that's coming out in the next 4 or 5 weeks. He never emailed me the actual recorded file. And I don't know if I said this to you in the newsroom, for the sake of not burning a bridge and being a needy guy, I was not going to message him after the fact and say, hey, can you send me that file? Because he ran out to do radio yesterday and he never sent me the MP3. So we missed out on that.
Maybe he doesn't know where it is.
It's possible.
Because there's two places it could be. It could be in the cloud or it could be on his hard drive.
Mm.
So I don't think he knows where it is, possibly, and that's why I didn't send it.
And that's the thing, is like, I'm not so desperate enough that I'm going to message him today and be like, hey, whatever happened to that interview? I'm not going to do that. It'll come up at some point. We'll laugh about it. I'm just disappointed because it was a great interview. He was hilarious. Not that he needs me to plug his stuff. I mean, he has a huge following. But it was just cool for me. Like, I was geeking out talking to him because I have such a profound respect for stand-ups and what they do. I have always been a stand-up junkie, meaning that I do hard drugs and then go to stand-up shows. Don't laugh. There's a drug epidemic in the United States. You believe this? Butcher's laughing about that. That's not nice.
I'm like borderline thinking, do I dump that or not?
It was a terrible joke. I'm a stand-up junkie. Waka waka. So I love those guys. Like I am when I've met stand-up comics, that's like the most geeky I get. Athletes don't really do that for me. Although I did meet Albert Pujols a couple of days ago at work. That was pretty surreal.
It's the legends.
Yeah. It's surreal. It's just surreal. That's my one word, Jack Nicholson, right there. One word impersonations. Done. That was Jack. That was pretty good.
Wasn't that two words, though? It's surreal.
Are we really going to split hairs, dude?
Yeah.
God.
The kid's
right. He really is going to run the company someday, by the way. He's already like measuring the number of words.
So I don't say anything bad about him. So when he's my boss, he won't fire me.
No, you're smart. Listen, play both sides. Keep ripping on Pete the Body, too. That was good. I like that.
Sports, huh?
Sports, eh? Yeah, and then the other one that when I saw him walking around that I freaked out about was Pedro. Because I will tell anybody my age, and you know, Maddox, Randy Johnson, it varies, but guys our age, Carlos, Pedro Martinez is the best pitcher
Pedro
I've ever seen.
Pedro was that dude. And I don't even got to go Red Sox Pedro. Like, Expos Pedro.
Oh, my God.
Was savage. You and I, we both worked there. Worked there. Love the culture, love the company. I just hated the commute and the specific job. I was like, and if I'm doing what you're doing, sure, I would have stuck around.
Right.
But, you know, I was a behind-the-scenes guy. Pedro, meeting him was cool. And I dapped Cliff Floyd randomly in the parking lot, and he's just like a regular dude. He's like, what's cracking? Hey, little hand dap, and keep him moving.
I said this on this show, actually. Did I call in? I actually might have called in to tell this story. I was going to the beach with Aaron, and I don't know why. I just decided to call the show. Mraz gave me the hotline number, and I called up and relayed a story about Cliff Floyd. It might have been before I even worked at MLB Network, but I went out with Cliff Floyd once at the winter meetings. We were in Nashville, and I had a couple of friends that I now work with at MLB Network, but at the time, I was just a peon kid that would go to the job fair, and I would hang out on set and just hang out behind the scenes, and I'm walking through the lobby at the Grand Opry or whatever that giant resort is, and they go, come on, let's go. We're going out. We're going downtown. So they grab me. We get in a car. And now we're just waiting in the front of the hotel. And I go, what are we waiting for? Oh, Cliff's coming out. So Cliff Floyd jumps into the front seat of this Uber. And as soon as he sits down and shuts the door, there's this smell. And it is glorious. I don't know what he's wearing. I don't know what he's got on. He's the best smelling person I have ever been around. Now, I have not smelled him since then. That was several years ago. But aside from being cool, like you said, regular dude, he smelled delicious that night. And I'm jealous of anybody that was in close proximity to him.
Like romantic delicious or cinnamon delicious?
No, romantic delicious. Yeah, I would have gotten freaky with Cliff Floyd that night.
Aaron's definitely sleeping.
Yeah, definitely. Oh, yeah, because huge sport. Speaking of sports, not a clue. I think that's why our relationship works. She's just not into it at all. I've been on television. She's maybe watched me once or twice. She just has no attachment to
supportive.
It.
Supportive.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can she at least record it and just let the DVR like auto delete it and get at least one rating that way?
Dude, if I said to her, she's like, oh, how was work today? I think sometimes she just doesn't even listen. Like if I said, oh, it was great. The show was great. You know, we had, this WWE superstar on. She was a great interview. Brian Botcher was great across the way on the board there. She would go, okay. And if I said to her, hey, we sat in studio and we all took turns bashing baby seals with stones over the head, I would get the same reaction. Like she just doesn't listen when it comes to my job. But when she has something to talk about with work, Greggy's all ears. Greggy's always there to give the pep talk. It's amazing how that works, right?
Should we be like, do you need to like hash some things out right now?
Are
you
good? That's why I'm on the radio.
I know, but like, Yeah. It seems serious.
No, it's not serious. That's the beauty. We've been together 10 years.
Okay,
dude.
Okay. I know. I'm just saying.
Yeah, no, I know. Yes. Did we have an argument yesterday? Yes. Will we be fine as soon as I get home today? Yes. Can I make these jokes on this show because she's not listening? Yes. Would I ever say this to her face? No. No.
It's going to be the one day she's actually listening.
That would be funny.
That would be poetic justice.
That would be funny. I heard the show today. Oh, yeah? What did we talk about? Well, you said that Tua Tagovailoa snapping back at them. Oh, you even had to say Tua Tagovailoa. That's impressive. I guess we could get into the joint practice stuff.
Sure, sports.
Yeah, you know me. I'd rather talk about other things. But I want to get your guys' thoughts on these joint practices. I thought early on they were a good thing, a different thing, a way to break up the monotony of training camp. As time's gone on, I'm starting to think that they're not the best thing. Because all you ever hear about these joint practices is that there's fighting. And I don't see how it's beneficial in any way.
Yeah, in fact, didn't the Jets cancel a joint practice with the Buccaneers, I believe?
So that was something that I printed up this morning. Tony Oden returns to Jets practice after being injured in a brawl. Senior defensive assistant Tony Oden was back to work and in good spirits yesterday. He was injured during a practice brawl on Wednesday, struck during an altercation between players at a joint practice between the Jets and the Bucs, was carted off the field, but was later back in the office that evening to watch practice film. All right, so that covers a lot of things. Football coaches take themselves way too seriously. And you don't have to look further than ask a football coach because they'll tell you how serious their job is. All right. Baseball managers, baseball hitting and pitching coaches are not sleeping on the couch in their office watching film. They're just not doing it. I don't think basketball coaches are doing it. I know for a fact hockey coaches aren't doing it. But football coaches, for whatever reason, there's 32 teams. There's one winner every year. But there's 32 coaching staffs worth of guys that don't sleep, don't eat properly, abandon their families, chew tobacco, and suck down caffeine. One winner at the end of the year. Is it really worth it? I say no.
Yes, it's their job.
Would you be that into something? We work hard, but when is it enough? Like, this guy got out of the hospital. Was it really necessary to be back? And I love how we're flipping this, by the way. We go from joint practices suck and are a bad idea to this guy's an ass because he went back to work that night. That's a totally different thing. Carlos agrees with me. Joint practices, yay or nay?
Yay for one day. Nay for two. Like, what the Jets are doing now, like, they canceled the second day because Salah said something about, like, the second day is always useless because it's just fighting.
But they agreed to this back in March.
Yeah.
And so the Jets bailed on them.
Last week.
Right?
Yeah.
The Jets bailed.
Last week they said they were not going to do it the second day.
Okay.
So that's why.
So the Bucs were up here for 2 days. They ended up having to use the Giants practice facility yesterday. Did you see that?
Yes. So but they had notice. So it wasn't like they just drove the bus to the Giants practice.
See, I was kind of hoping that the Jets just, like, last minute were like, hey, we're not showing up. Like the way people,
that would be hilarious.
Like the way people do here covering shifts. All of a sudden, hey, have you heard from so-and-so?
Hey, pal.
Exactly. Hey, remember how I told you that I couldn't work all next week? Yeah, that hasn't changed. I still can't come in. Magically, I love when people, I slept through my phone. How? My phone died. No, it didn't. You just have a terrible work ethic. Radio, we get some characters here, boy. Woo! Got some people. We got some creatures working here. They got the camera on you in there?
Not right now.
See, they're missing your dancing. I'm finding so many things out about you. Your actual name. I gotta read this tweet, and also, this is a target demo and a feel-good Friday. Tweet the show, tweet me, tweet Carlos with a K, tweet The Butcher, tweet AJ Kaplan, tweet CBS Sports Radio. Where you're listening, how you're listening. Great line here from Dixieland Dan. My man Gregory is dressed like a wealthy businessman who is trying to dress like a college kid so he can get into the campus house parties. I think there's been about 16 minutes of sports in an hour, and the rest has been random BS. I'm here for the random BS. Let's go. And that is why Dixieland Dan is good people.
I wonder if our bosses are here for the BS.
Sports.
Sports. So we got Schwartz in here. We'll talk to him in just a moment. But I do want to get into somebody that Carlos talked about on the radio yesterday from your home studio doing radio in South Carolina. Figure that one out. Chiefs superfan, Chiefsaholic, indicted on 19 charges. 19, including bank robbery and money laundering. Federal grand jury Wednesday allegedly robbed a string of banks in the Midwest after allegedly laundering the stolen cash through casinos. This was in the Western District of Missouri. The man's name is Xavier Babudar. He was arrested last month for an alleged robbery in Iowa last year. FBI investigators used bank records, casino transaction records, and other sensitive financial information before discovering his cell phone was placed in cities where previously unsolved robberies took place. The 28-year-old's 19-count indictment replaces and adds more charges than the federal criminal complaint that was filed against him in May. 11 counts of money laundering, 4 counts of transporting stolen property across state lines, 3 counts of armed bank robbery, 1 count of bank theft. This was during a 9-month stretch between March and December of last year. Authorities allege he stole more than $800,000 in total and also purchased and redeemed more than $1 million in chips from various casinos. Wow.
And he was still loyal enough to go all the football games.
Still won, huh?
Yep, every game. Until he was on the run. Then that was a separate story.
At what point are you constantly looking over your shoulder at every turn? Like, every time you start your car in the morning, every time you go to bed at night, are you just waiting for that door to get
every
kicked
time
down?
You realize you're still in America is when I'm looking over my shoulder. If I'm not in Mexico, I'm totally looking over my shoulder.
This is great. And here's sports. Some of his earnings came from betting on Mahomes to win NFL MVP and the Chiefs to win the Super Bowl. He was on the run for over 3 months. Those crimes took place through Missouri, Iowa, other places like that. He was captured in Sacramento. He's in federal custody without bond.
A compulsive gambler.
That's an amazing string of crimes. Yeah, I'm amazed by the white collar stuff. You know, I really am. My mother-in-law just told me that somebody at her job was caught with a bunch of improprieties. Like, she's the bookkeeper and she noticed it. And he had opened up credit cards and there was a shell corporation and money being moved around. And I am fascinated by people like that. Because how in the hell do you think you're going to get away with it?
He did a pretty good job, considering.
I mean, he was doing it for a few months.
More than months. It was years.
I thought it said
month. But he was on the run for a while.
He was on the run for 3 months. He said these things took place last year between April and December.
That's a long time.
That is a long time. Yeah, 9-month stretch between March and December of last year.
Different states.
Yeah.
Summer, during
training
camp. I mean,
this is an elaborate, and from what I gather reading this, it's not like this is a 3-4-5-man operation. This is a solo venture.
Chiefsaholic.
It's Chiefsaholic. Oof. What's he looking at? What plea deal could you possibly make when you're the sole one responsible for this? Oh, I'll give other people up. Who? There's nobody involved.
No, you know what? So I got to thinking about this.
Talk to me.
Do you think Patrick Mahomes gets hit with an accessory charge because of his fandom? And he made his initial $100,000 on betting on Mahomes on the MVP and the Super Bowl. So, like, do investigators talk to Mahomes? I'm like, hey, do you know anything about this? And just try to, like, do a RICO case from the Chiefs.
The entire season ticket holders in the one section he sits in, they're all part of the...
Paul Rudd is immediately jumping up and paying the legal fees to try to get all these guys off.
Rob Riggle. Eric Stone Street, just a couple of celebrity Chiefs fans. Could you imagine if that was the big twist at the end of the quarterback series is Mahomes wins the Super Bowl, he wins MVP, and it's just him being let out in handcuffs with the sirens going, on the next quarterback. Dun, dun, dun. By the way, they said Joe Burrow is confirmed for season two.
I believe I'm all in.
He is the only one Joey up B. to this point. And I think Boomer Esiason helped break that. Boomer talked about that recently.
On the unnamed station.
On the station that shall not be named. Joe B is going to be on that, not Beningo, Burrow, which is awesome. It would be great if they got Jackson Mahomes to take the fall for this. If they got Pat Mahomes' brother.
I don't want to see anything
with
this
kid. I think he's in prison.
He's not in jail. I know he got arrested. But is he in jail?
I don't think so. Not yet. If he is, he probably won't be, but...
I got so annoyed watching quarterback because there's a really lovely scene later in the season where there was some social media back and forth between Pat Mahomes and Henry Winkler, the Fonz.
Hey.
Hey, look at that. You did the thumbs. Can you do the thumbs again?
Hey.
Look at those thumbs.
Our radio audience can't hear.
Spitting
can't
image.
See, sorry.
It's like he's in the room. Wait, hold on. And I guess Henry Winkler was gaga over Patrick Mahomes, because who isn't, right? And he tweeted at him and said, you know, Patrick, I would love to invite you to my home and cook you a nice dinner. And then later that season, the Chiefs are playing in L.A. against the Chargers, and Henry Winkler's on the sidelines. So they have the documentary camera crew follow Mahomes to go say hi to Henry Winkler, and they have a nice exchange, and he goes, you know, I still want to come over for dinner. That would be great. Let's try and hook something up in the offseason. And who's standing behind Henry Winkler on the sidelines just being there because it's all about him? Jackson Mahomes, non-contributor, no talent, my famous brother, me. He's always there.
He's a pimple on the ass of society.
God,
can't stand
you
the kid.
Said it. Speaking of, that's a great segue, right? Great segue. I haven't even gotten into Joe Mixon yet. What a menace this guy is. He got away with one this time. But I think people forget what happened to Joe Mixon when he was in college. I didn't.
Pepperidge Farm remembers.
Pepperidge Farm remembers. Do you remember what happened to Joe Mixon in college?
I remember people saying he's a terrible person.
Did you see the video? There's a video of it.
No, I haven't seen the video.
Yeah, he punched a woman in the face in the middle of a diner, family restaurant, whatever, and broke like four bones in her cheek. But he's still playing. It's fine. It's cool. No way. He's fine. He's rehabbed his image. It's fine. By the way, he's not guilty of aggravated menacing. That was the latest charge. But not guilty. You think NFL attracts a certain unsavory type? It's amazing how we're selective about, you know, who we ban, who we cancel. You know, like Ray Rice was one and done. You saw the video, haven't heard from him since. Joe Mixon, we saw the video, he's still playing. I could never root for that guy. Could never root for that guy. We'll talk about him in a little bit, but right now... You know what time it is. Peter Schwartz in with the headlines.
All right, Greg, our first stop, Los Angeles. It had been a minute since Austin Barnes hit a home run.
The 0-1. Fly ball to deep left field. That one is on its way, and it is gone! A home run! Austin Barnes' first home run of the year! And the Dodgers take a 1-0 lead.
Charlie Steiner on Dodgers Radio, a moment that Dodgers analyst Nomar Garciaparra on their pregame show predicted would happen, and it did. The Dodgers win their 11th in a row, and they beat the Brewers 1-0 for Austin Barnes, his first home run since September 20th, 2022.
It's been a struggle this year, but helping the team win, Lance threw the ball really well, and it was tough to get runs across on Corbin Burns. He's obviously a really good pitcher, and yeah, it was nice to put that run across and give the team a shot to win.
And winning the Dodgers done a lot of it. They're 15-1 in August. Now to San Diego.
First pitch swung on, lifted towards the right field corner. Long run, Tatis at the wall. That ball's over the wall and gone.
Wow.
A solo shot for Gabby Moreno, fourth of the year. And it's 3-0 Diamondbacks.
The call on Diamondbacks. You okay?
Yeah, did you hear that? He played the Sterling getting hit in the head. He snuck it in. It was very low. But that's the only thing I heard.
See, I didn't catch that.
That was beautiful.
Pete taught me well.
P Pete taught you very well. That was good.
I don't know how I missed that.
We've been playing
maybe something was sent to you in the headset or something like
that.
I'm like,
that was there was nothing inside about that. It was just John Sterling getting dunked in the head with a foul ball.
The Diamondbacks beat the Padres 3-1. Zach Gallen gave up a run and three hits over six in the third. Mets beat the Cardinals 4-2. Home run number 37 for Pete Alonso. The Nationals beat the Red Sox 10-7. Now to Kansas City in a huge day for Julio Rodriguez.
Here's Julio Rodriguez, the stretch and the pitch. Swing and a fly ball deep to left field. Way back, going and going, and goodbye baseball. Julio Rodriguez with a three-run blast. And he gives the Mariners a 5-4 lead here in the top of the eighth inning.
Rick Riz on Mariners Radio. Mariners beat the Royals 6-4. Julio Rodriguez homered and drove in five. The Tigers-Guardians game washed out. It'll be a single-admission doubleheader today in Cleveland starting at 4:10. NFL preseason, Browns and Eagles, an absolutely scintillating 18-18 tie in Philadelphia last night. For the Browns, Austin Watkins Jr. caught seven passes for 139 yards and a touchdown. For the Eagles, Tanner McKee completed 10 of 18 for 147 yards and a touchdown.
You've done a lot of updates in your career. Have you ever used the word scintillating before?
Yeah, but not to describe preseason football generally. I hope that was taken extremely tongue-in-cheek.
No, of course. I just it was used perfectly, and I'm thinking, like, has Schwartz ever dropped scintillating in an update
before? I'm pretty sure
before?
I have. I would say in over 30 years of doing this, I probably have.
You must
have
used it.
I think so.
Rick Riz, by the way, Seattle Mariners, one of the greats, as good as it gets.
Outstanding. And he doesn't get enough credit because he's in
there.
Seattle. Yeah. And the other guy I like, too, is, and of course I'm trying to think of his name. The Guardians.
Tom Hamilton?
Tom Hamilton. Fantastic.
Yep, Tom Hamilton. I think
love him, too.
He might. Is he in the Hall of Fame? Did he get the Frick Award? I think he might have.
I'm not sure
that he got in a couple of years ago. By the way, Julio Rodriguez, first ever 5 RBI game. He joins Bobby Witt Jr., the only two players in Major League history with 20-plus homers and 20-plus steals in their first two seasons.
Now, there's a guy who has been spending a lot of time at MLB Network doing this research.
That's a lot of research.
Yeah, a lot of research.
You hear that, and it's like, yeah, okay. And they squared off yesterday.
Yeah.
I mean, the game is in good hands, you know, with the young players. The Washington Nationals are a great story. I think they've won 19 of their last 32. They've played really good baseball for the last month.
And that's what I want to see the Yankees do now. I want to see everybody up from the minor
leagues. Bring them up.
I see a tweet the other day from the Somerset Patriots on how well Jason Dominguez has been hitting lately.
Is he going to get to AAA?
I mean, he's been at Double A now for two years. Forget about Scranton. Let's just for September. Let's get him in the Bronx.
Well, he's on the 40-man, right?
I think he is.
I think he's on the 40-man because there were people talking about him making the team out of camp, which was absurd. It would be nice to see the kid crack
Triple A. Bring up Austin Wells. You need a catcher, so bring up Austin Wells.
Yeah, but Peter, you got DJ LeMahieu and Giancarlo Stanton and
keep going.
Yeah, no. Things are good.
Yeah,
things,
of course. Fantastic.
Everything's fine. Things are great.
$47 to park to see that garbage. Now to hockey. Longtime Buffalo Sabres play-by-play voice Rick Jeanneret has sadly passed away at the age of 81. He called Sabres games on radio and television for 51 years, from 1971 to this moment in 2022, following his final game after he had retired.
Thanks for traveling around with me on this road for the last half century. All of you, thank you very kindly. It's been a hell of a ride.
Jeanneret enjoyed the longest play-by-play career in NHL history. He's in the Hockey Hall of Fame, and he passes away after a two-year battle with multi-organ failure. And I just, we had talked about this off the air. I went to college in Buffalo. I went to Buffalo State. And one of the cool things about that was getting the chance to cover the Sabres for my college radio station, WBNY, and he was always a very friendly face and just a really, really good guy, and the whole hockey and sports world is going to miss him.
Yeah, and I was saying earlier in the show, like, it's amazing how far that goes when somebody in your profession takes a little time just to have a personal moment with you, just to offer a kind word. That sticks with you.
It always stuck, and there's so many of them. no reason to go into every single name. But when I heard last night before I went to sleep that he had passed away, I was really sad about
it. Yeah, it's a bummer.
I would walk into the press room and you sit down. Like, you know, you've covered a million games too. You sit down, you're at the, you know, in the dining room, you're having something to eat, and he'll walk in. Hey, Peter, how's everything going at Buffalo State?
Yep. Yeah. And you go, wait, like, you don't have to take the time to talk to me.
No, no.
You know, and there, and listen, it's not always that way. There are guys that don't want to be bothered. There are guys that, are, you know, that know
we've run into those,
that know
too.
Who they are.
Which is why anytime I'm at a game and a college radio kid or, you know, whoever new in the business, always take the time to say hello.
Because there were times when I would talk to people and be like, you know, I can never pay you back, insert famous person here, like if they offered advice and they said, no, you don't have to, just pay it forward to the next person.
Yeah.
That's what you got to do.
One of these days I'll share a great John Sterling story.
Oh, I'd love to hear that. Yeah. I think everybody's got one in this market.
Yeah,
right?
Along these same lines, but I'll save it for another time.
Is that it, or is you got...
Do I have time for one more?
You got time. You got 3 more minutes.
I got 3 minutes, so let's keep with hockey. Former block, because you were looking at me like we were like up against...
No, not at all. I want you to stay here. It's less that I have to do. It's great.
Former Blackhawks captain Jonathan Tay says he is not retiring, but is taking some time away from the game this season. He said he wants to give himself the time and space to fully heal and enjoy life to the fullest once again. And we'll close with golf. Rory McIlroy and Brian Harman share the lead at 5 under after one round of the BMW Championship.
So with Tay, one of the things I saw is that he had long-term effects from COVID one of the things I saw, which is interesting because you think, all right, an athlete conditioned in a sport that is all cardio, you would think, all right, what could the problem be? He's in his mid-30s, and he said, he's like, it's still
he must have gotten hammered really hard.
Really bad.
Yeah. And I think there were a few other athletes, too, that I know in baseball there were a couple of players that, especially that, you know, when it first started in 2020. But yeah, that's, you know, it's sad for Tays, but I'm glad he's gonna, you know, it sounds like he still wants to play, and he will next season. But I wish him the best, and he can feel better because obviously, I mean, it's a grueling, grueling sport, and a lot of work in the off season goes into it, and he probably just doesn't have the energy to do it right now.
Yeah, you think about that. I mean, my landlords, they had COVID at one point a couple of years ago, and like, they still have a dry cough from it. I can still hear them coughing. So, like, that sounds terrible.
Yeah, I would not want that. I think I had it, but I never tested positive for it.
Huh. Perfect. Right.
But I think... Excuse me.
Thanks, I'm sorry, what Joe. Was that? I'm sorry, what was
Thanks,
that, Jody?
Excuse me.
I'm about to spill my coffee. We were talking about Jody Mack this morning.
Another legend.
I miss having guys like that in the building.
Yeah.
You know, like pre-COVID, seeing Jody, seeing Chris Moore. Like, I miss seeing those guys around.
I do. I miss them immensely.
But I also think...
Did you ever hear me say immensely before?
No.
Okay. There's another way. I'm getting the dictionary
out. Are you getting
out.
Smarter? What's happening to you?
You know, I try to be a man of
the
world.
Did you read a couple of books this summer?
Well, I mean...
Summer reading list?
I think it just goes back to just, like, watching a lot of the... I never talk politics.
Mm.
But obviously, during certain moments in the last few years, you spend a lot of time watching the news channels. And I think I've probably picked up a few words.
So you picked up some words from television news anchors.
I think so.
Do you think any television news people have picked up words from you in your updates?
No.
There's no way, right?
I think so.
See, it would be nice if, like, somebody returned the favor. It's like, I got that word from Peter Schwartz on WFAN.
That would be cool, yeah. Well, sometimes I walk around the house saying those words, and my kids are like, what?
Like, would you please stop talking to yourself? Like you know you're not at work, right? Always with the microphone. It's like, you know, that's a spatula, right?
Yeah. Plethora? I like the word plethora.
All right, now you're showing off. We got this guy, I can't deal with this.
It dropped me off at Grandpa Joe's. I kicked and screamed, so please no.
Attaboy, Butcher. I requested this. This is the brilliance of Nirvana. Three dudes, loud, heavy. The song's 2 minutes. And if you've ever heard the cover by Gaslight Anthem, they do it justice. Brian Fallon and the boys from New Jersey do this cover justice. Grohl on drums, Chris Novoselic on bass, and of course the late Kurt Cobain. I don't know if you heard. He is no longer with us. It is a Target Demo Friday on the DA show, the program, as it's sometimes called. I want to hear from you where you're listening, how you're listening. We'll read those at the end of the show. Got a couple of people chiming in. So Ostrich Eyes asks, is bringing outside food to the theater comparable to going number one in the stall? We must know your thoughts. I don't really know how
what?
To... Yeah, I'll read that again. Is bringing outside food to the theater, I'm assuming movie theater, comparable to going number one in the stall? I don't see how they're related in any way, because I've done both. Carlos, maybe you can find the connection and the parallel here. Ostrich Eyes, is bringing outside food to the theater comparable to going number one in the stall?
I don't know what the correlation is between that. Like, now, we were talking about bringing food into a theater yesterday because Boyle got bagged trying to sneak in a chicken sando at the AMC theater. First of all, rookie move. You don't know how to, like, pocket that, but that's neither here nor there.
You don't bring a meal into a...
Oh, are you an anti-food theater guy?
No. You bring snacks in. Like, if you want to buy a bag of gummy bears from somewhere and then bring them in, sure.
Oh, no. I'm big on the food thing. Like, if you're hungry and you got to eat, like, and you know you have
that...
So
you would bring a sandwich to a theater?
I have brought... I didn't say this yesterday, but I brought fettuccine with shrimp and chicken into a Broadway play.
No, you didn't.
I swear. If I'm lying, strike me now. But it was a John Leguizamo stand-up. The wife and I were hungry, so we brought in chicken fettuccine with some shrimp mixed in, and we were sitting in the back, and we ate it like heathens while laughing our collective butts off.
So there were people all around you, and you're twirling fettuccine on your fork and eating during the show?
Yep. And that's not even the worst food thing I've done. I had a layover in Chicago. My family were going on a Florida vacation. This was like when I was like 17. So we were going to Disney World, but we flew from New York to Chicago, from Chicago to Orlando. We're from Chicago. I got off the plane, took a cab to our favorite pizza spot, ordered a thin crust pizza, pepperoni, sausage, and shrimp. We got a big thing for shrimp, but don't lie.
Yeah, what's with the
Brought
shrimp?
Brought it back to the plane, cleared security and all that, and then we're passing slices as the flight is about to take off.
Wait, they let you bring the pizza through security?
I got it through.
How long ago was this?
This was, I want to say, close to 20 years.
Oh, okay, because nowadays they wouldn't let you do that.
I doubt it, but
I mean, they make you dump bottles of water.
Eating like kings.
All right, so Carlos with a K has this thing for shrimp. We'll try and do a psychological breakdown of that when we come back. We're halfway done. 4-hour show. We're 2 hours in. Can't believe it. I love it.